Our scripture lesson for this morning, our first scripture lesson for this morning comes from Romans chapter 14. Listen for God's holy word. Paul says, "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. And those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? If it is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Furthermore, some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. And those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. So why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God.' So then, each of us will be accountable to God." And our second passage comes from Galatians chapter 5. Listen for God's holy word. Paul again says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. In 1962, Lou Groen took a business risk. He partnered with a little-known but growing restaurant entrepreneur and franchiser named Ray Kroc. And together, Lou and Ray opened a McDonald's restaurant in Lou's hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio. McDonald's at the time was very particular about their menu. It was a simple menu which had been changed in the past by earlier franchise owners, and Ray Kroc and the owners of McDonald's put a stop to that practice, and they refused to allow their franchise restaurants to offer anything other than the carefully crafted menu of burgers, French fries, sodas, and milkshakes. Well, Lou's Cincinnati franchise started out with mild success. People loved the McDonald's burgers and fries and milkshakes, and they got rave reviews, but there was a consistent problem. On Fridays, Lou's regular customers wouldn't show up. The weekly absence on customers was hurting his bottom line. As it turned out, 87% of Lou's Cincinnati customer base were Roman Catholic. And according to Roman Catholic canon law, Fridays were fast days, and Catholics refrained from eating meat. Lou had nothing on his menu to offer his Catholic customers, and it was hurting his business. The origin of this Christian practice of fasting on Fridays is a bit of a mystery. I went to the library at Princeton Seminary this week to try and understand its roots, where it came from. And from what my research revealed to me, it seems clear that Fridays were important to early Christians because Friday was the day that Christ died on the cross. Christ died on Friday. He was in the tomb Friday night, Saturday, and part of Sunday morning. And then, as we know, he rose on that first Easter Sunday. We gather as early Christians do on Sundays to celebrate Christ's resurrection. And in the early church, Fridays were also remembered and set aside as a special day to show their regret over Christ's death, to remember the importance of his death, and to show how their life depended on Christ's sacrifice. Some Christian communities began the practice of fasting on Fridays. Christ had died as a sacrifice for human sins, and sacrifices were often followed by a meal of roasted meat. And perhaps for this reason, Christians decided that they would show their reverence for Christ's sacrifice by withholding from red meat. For this reason, fish became a staple of meals during Friday fasts. It also was the case that at some point, this voluntary practice became part of what was called canon law. It was no longer just something that some Christian communities chose to do. Instead, it became a requirement, a law, for every Christian within the Catholic Church. Lou Groen and his restaurant in Cincinnati were not the first folks to be adversely affected by this practice of fasting on Fridays. One of our famous Reformation figures, Urich Zwingli, was a Catholic priest preaching and pastoring in Zurich, Switzerland in the early 1500s. This was the same time as Martin Luther was kicking off the Reformation in Wittenberg, Germany. And some of Luther's early ideas, some of his writings and pamphlets, had already made their way to Switzerland, where Zwingli was serving. Luther's Reformation had been kicked off by a controversy caused when he posted his 95 Theses against indulgences. They were a series of arguments pointing out the theological problems with those indulgences. Zwingli's reform was kicked off by an event that was just as controversial and became called the Affair of the Sausages. The Affair of the Sausages. When I first bought my Reformation history textbook in seminary, and I opened it up and saw in the table of contents that there was a chapter called The Affair of the Sausages, I have to tell you that I was both excited for the class and glad to be a student of the Reformation. So, the Affair of the Sausages was an event that related to canon law. In the early church, fasting on Fridays, eating only fish on Fridays, it wasn't a huge inconvenience. Most of the early church had grown up around the Mediterranean Sea, where fish was easy to get. But as Christianity moved north and east, north and west into Europe, fish was harder to come by. Fish was not so easy to find in the mountains and the forests of Switzerland, where Zwingli was doing his work. I have to say that I can relate to Zwingli's parishioners. Growing up in Michigan, we didn't have a lot of good fish options. If you wanted seafood, you could have lake perch from Lake Michigan. You also could have fish sticks or red lobster, unless you wanted to really break the bank on some nice seafood. One of the great and unexpected pleasures of moving to New Jersey has certainly been cheaper and easier access to delicious seafood. Switzerland didn't have great options for fish, and thus their Friday fasts were a much greater burden on Zwingli's congregations than they were for Christians living back in Italy and Rome. Zwingli agreed with Luther's point on Scripture. Zwingli fervently believed that Scripture or the church laws that spiritual or church laws that weren't clearly taught in Scripture should not be held up by the church as universal laws that all Christians must abide. Zwingli and his colleagues read scriptures like our passages for this morning from the books of Romans and Galatians. In these passages, their author, Paul, conveys the idea that we now call Christian freedom. Paul is advising Christians who live together in communities of faith, but who hold different practices when it comes to food and holidays and other issues. Some of Paul's audience in the book of Romans think that being a follower of Christ means eating no meat at all. And others believe that being a Christian means that they can eat whatever it is that they want. Rather than teaching that one side is right and the other side is wrong, rather than laying down a new law that would be universally held by all of Christians, Paul argues for Christian freedom. Paul doesn't settle the argument by setting a new law for all times and all places. Instead, he allows for freedom. Freedom that is restricted by a desire to honor God and to love one's neighbor as oneself. Paul encouraged all Christians, regardless of their food practices or beliefs, to seek to honor God. Each Christian had their own life before God, Paul explains. Each Christian would stand before God as their one true judge. So Paul reasoned we should not judge one another on such indisputable matters. What Paul did command was that all Christians were to accept and respect one another despite those differences in belief and practice. Zwingli and his colleagues in Zurich read Paul's words explaining this idea of Christian freedom, that Christians could decide to revere and honor God in different ways and in different places, and that all Christians should respect one another despite those differences. Zwingli read these words of Paul and he saw a conflict in his own experience, a conflict in how church law, holy canon law, was being practiced in his own experience. And so the next thing you knew, there were sausages. Zwingli was present and gave his approval to a Friday meal where sausage was served. He himself did not eat any of the sausage that day, but he stood up for those who did. As a local priest and the local representative of the church, he did not express disapproval that his people were eating meat on a Friday. And furthermore, he went on a campaign afterwards, preaching sermons, giving lectures, defending the host of the meal and those who ate. Soon, Zwingli's stance on Christian freedom had made him almost as infamous as Martin Luther had become over his 95 thesis. The issue of moral laws within the church is definitely a tricky issue. I would say that all of us have a sense that Christianity and the church, our relationship to this community of faith, we want them to have some role in leading us and guiding us in our moral choices and in our lives. But the question becomes, how? How does the church help us make moral decisions? How does the church help us to lead our moral lives? Before the Reformation, a system of church laws had been the solution. The church helped people remain moral and in God's good favor by legislating the rules of behavior, guidelines, guardrails for many aspects of human life. However, returning to Scripture, the Reformers saw clearly that church law was not and could not be the basis of Christian morality. Church law could not do what it hoped to do. Instead, the Reformers found that in their study and in their own experiences with a living God, that the basis of true Christian morality was found in relationship to God. It was not found in laws, but in a relationship with their living God. The Reformers therefore made the focus of their lives the fostering of this dynamic relationship with God. They did not choose to spend their time and energy studying church law, but they used their time and their energy fostering their relationship with God and helping others to find that relationship as well. The Reformers and we today believe that Christians are free to make the moral decisions in their lives that they need to make in order to both honor God and serve their neighbors, show love to their neighbors. The Reformers and we today believe that God did not found the church in order to create and maintain a set of universal moral laws. Instead, we believe that God has founded the church in order to help us foster a living relationship with our God and our Savior. And in doing so, in God's fostering of this relationship with us, God has gathered together a community of people who are called and equipped to participate in bringing God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's peace to a world in need of that love, forgiveness, and peace. God has called us to be agents of reconciliation. Our living relationship with God gives us freedom. We are free from our sins. We are free from the expectations of law. We are free from every power and force in the world that would keep us from being all that God made us to be and all that God desires that we would be. God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has made us wonderfully free. But God has also bound us, not to an inflexible set of laws, but God has bound us to God's command that we would live for God's purposes and to pattern our lives so that we are best suited to serve God's will. The practice of eating fish on Fridays led reformers like Zwingli and others to this powerful and this important innovation within Christian theology. The practice of eating fish on Fridays also brought us the McDonald's filet of fish sandwich. Lou Groen, the owner of that McDonald's restaurant in Cincinnati, he found a solution to the Friday's dip in sales. He pitched and got accepted the first major change to the official McDonald's menu, a lightly breaded fish sandwich with tartar sauce, which he could sell to his Catholic customers during their fasts. The sandwich was an instant success, but it caused much less of a controversy than Zwingli's sausages. Zwingli, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and others, they did not let anything go within their churches. We know of the Reformation leaders as strict moral people, and they did. They maintained strict moral guidelines within their own communities of faith. They didn't mind telling Christians how they should live their lives, but they also didn't require that those guidelines become inflexible rules for all time and all places. Instead, the Reformers made the main focus of their church work the fostering of a relationship with a living God. They translated Scripture into the people's languages so that people could hear God's promises, God's desire to be a part of their lives. The Reformers did not make the focus of their ministry legislating morality. Instead, they did all that they could to help people find God, to help them experience God, and then to allow that living relationship with God to guide their moral decisions. This is one of the great legacies of the Reformation, which we celebrate today. As early Christians chose to fast on Fridays to honor Christ's death, so are we as Christians called into a living relationship with God so that we might, with God's help, understand what it is that we can do in our lives to honor Christ and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us do this with the help of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.